If you will, I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 42. This is something many ministers can tell you, preachers and different ones, Sunday school teachers. A lot of times you think you've got everything where it needs to be, and then Thursday afternoon at prayer meeting, about 1 o'clock, the Lord kind of steered me a different direction. And I thank Him for that. There's no guessing. I know what He was doing. And I appreciate Him. All I can do is trust Him. You know, and you get a scripture and you begin to get a little nervous sometimes and wonder, well, God, how are you going to get there from here? But He did. But I want to read this scripture. And if you can, if you have your Bible, leave it open, because I want to go another couple places there real close. I'm going to begin reading there at the third verse in chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 42. I'm going to read down to about verse 7, but read along with me if you have your Bibles. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I want to read that third verse again for right now. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. The title of this message, and this was given to me by the Lord, and I bear with me because we'll get there. The scars from living behind enemy lines. That's what I'd like to preach on tonight. You look here at this verse. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. And I begin to think, Lord, how can I get there from here? And He said, what I want you to do, you can't really grasp hold of it. I want you to compare me with the enemy. And as I begin to make the comparison, Brother Mikey says, a bruised reed shall he not break. Those ones that come to the Lord, or maybe even here are tonight, and you're just going through such battles, and you're bruised, and you're torn, and you're wondering, where's the next step that I need to take? He'll not break you. And if you go on, a smoking flax shall he not quench. If, you know, it seems like we're fighting battles and we're wondering, God, am I even yours? But if He sees just a glimmer of hope, if there's just a little bit of smoke, then He knows there's fire. He'll not quench that which is still burning and the yearning that you have in your heart. And I begin to think about the scars from living behind enemy lines. What the enemy would love to do, if there's any that are teetering on that point of looking across the enemy lines and wondering, where will I fit in? Or if there's ones that are already living on the other side, what will the enemy do? He'll get you. If you're bruised, my friend, he will break you. If you are a smoking flax, he will do nothing more than just snuff out that barely thriving flame that you have. His desire is to end your life. His desire is to take you ever having the opportunity to look unto the Savior once again. He wants you to live behind the enemy's lines. He wants you to cross that threshold where you think there's no hope. That's where He wants you. He makes it so simple, the devil does. He makes it so simple as we're looking and we're wondering, well, you know, I can always come back. I can always go back to where I was. Come on here. I can always go back and take that place. I know God in His extreme mercy will help me. But that just seems like that's the place where many of us have gotten to. We expect extreme mercy and extreme grace. And I know my God's there to give it. He can take you from nothing, from the pit. But if you do cross those enemy lines, or if you are living across those enemy lines, there will be ever-evident scars of you living there. You can think, well, I'll go out and I'm going to live this way, but I'm not going to do such and such. I can go out and I can live. This battle's too hard. The burden's too heavy. I think I'll just go over here. It'll be easier. I can go back. But there'll always be scars, my friend. As a testimony, many of you know, and I'm not going to get into it if it's His will. But there's many here that even if the backsliders that are sitting here, if you would ask them, they'll tell you they're scars. They'll tell you there's a time when they wish they could call upon the Lord, when they become very desolate. But it seems like Christ, in our battles as Christians, when the burden is hard and we feel bruised and we feel like we barely have any life left, Brother Kurt, our burdens and our battles, I guess, are here to just help us grow. Our burdens that we're going through that seem so hard right now, it's hard to see it, Brother Jerry. But if we'll just hold on to the Lord, the burdens and the battles that we're bearing now that seem so difficult, it seems like there's no way out, it'll become a testimony one day. It'll help you grow to a place that when one of your brothers or your sisters in Christ are at a place where they're wondering where they're going to take their next step, you can go up and put your arm around them and you can say, my friend, I've been there. I can be a testimony of what God will do. I can be a testimony of where He can save you from. I can be a testimony of if you'll hold on to His hand. But the scars of living behind enemy lines, when you're constantly just being torn and the devil's mangling you and he's ripping you to shreds and his desire is to take your life and all he would love anything more is for the Lord to give him the okay to snuff out your life. As he's mangling you and tearing you apart, all he can look at is just, you know, these scars will always be there. I want to scar them deep so that when they're going through their daily life, they can't help but just constantly be something abrasing them or something constantly picking at the scars that they have upon their spirit, upon their body. I'm thinking about my little boy. He's had his arm broken and they had to do surgery and had to open his arm up and put a plate in there. Well, he was so young, Brother Mike, that they told us at the time, they said, now we'll have to go back in a little while and we're going to have to take that plate out. That scar was already so thick. But when they had to go in the second time, the scar was even more thick after that. We was constantly have to treat it with things, but that scar was sticking up so high that even just the clothes that he would wear, just little activities that he would do, it was keeping it tender. It couldn't heal. The scar was getting uglier. The scar was getting even bigger and thicker and just sticking up and constantly being a reminder of what he had done. Constantly being a reminder of the break that he had had. But the devil, that's what he wants. That's what he's doing. He'll get you out there. He'll mangle you. He'll tear you to shreds. He'll get you to the point you wonder, God, do you even see me any longer? Do you wonder where I am? I wonder where you are. A scripture that the Lord brought to my mind over in Psalms chapter 42. I want to read a couple verses there. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Have any of us been there? Is anyone there this night? As I was there in prayer meeting, Brother Mike, Thursday afternoon. It was about 1 o'clock, maybe 10 minutes into the prayer meeting. The Lord began to steer me. And He began to show me these things. There's those that are here this evening that can remember the times that they went to the sanctuary. They can remember the times that they went and they lifted up their hands. Hallelujah, I feel the Lord here. They can remember the times when they sat there unscarred. They can remember the times when they sat there and the enemy was just pulling at them a little bit at that time. There was not that draw. But as they begin to look and see, well, where can I fit in? The devil begins to isolate us. Even us younger ones, as we come to church at this point, we're saying, well, Lord, where are you? But then when He gets you out there, you're going to say it again. And you're going to say it with more desperation. I can remember the times, Brother Mike, that I would lay upon that couch wondering how could I get out. There's different ones we could go through and talk. And if they would give their testimony, they would say, I can remember the times when I was living behind enemy lines. There were such scars upon me that I didn't want to come around those that I knew were living the right way. There was those I didn't want to come around there. It was so abrasive. It seems like when the Holy Ghost conviction falls upon one, everything you do, my friend, will be abrasive. You see, because He's pulling for your soul. He's still saying, you're the one that I've called. You're the one that I've called to righteousness. You're the one that I've decided to make my own. I want to find those scriptures again, and I turned it to read you that. But that's where He wants you. He wants you to feel like you have no hope. But I want to read these scriptures, and I want you to grasp hold of them. You see, because I came tonight. I came this night to throw a lifeline to someone. I came this night to reach out for a soul that thinks there's no hope. I came out to reach out to one that says, I have no way of escape. I want to read these scriptures. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. And will hold thine hand. And will keep thee and give thee a covenant. Woo. You see, it's not expired. This grace has not expired. This grace is still reaching. My Savior is still calling for those that the enemy says, there is no hope for you. You'll always have these scars. And every time you think you're ready to turn your heart back over to the Savior, I'll pick them again and let you realize the hold that I have upon you. But I want you to hear this verse. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. As I begin to talk to my wife on the way up here, I begin to, a lot of times you just have to talk these scriptures out. The Lord, He's constantly reaching. We wonder why, where it says there in that verse, that I have, therefore will I give men for thee. And I begin to think, well, Lord, what do you mean by that? And these pastors begin to come to my mind. These pastors, Brother Mike, my father, Brother Kurt, different ones, the ministers, He's given men for thee. You see, even the lay members, the ones that are sitting beside you this evening, He's given them for thee. He's given them to let you realize that the light is still shining. He's given them to let you realize that the hope is still reaching. He's given them to let you realize that there still is a way of escape. The great physician is entering the room tonight. He can do some work if you'll let Him. I'm praying that the Lord will reach out. I'm praying that God will help. There's a little story that I'd read. And it just seemed to go so well with it, of those times when we feel like we've just pushed the Savior away. I've been there, Brother Mike, to my shame. I've been there. There's others that know that hurt that's there. There's others that know that hurt when the enemy is just feel like he's putting a brick around your soul and around your heart, keeping you down. Because he knows you know the way. There was a story of an English woman. She was in World War I, or she was around that era. She was a widow. She only had one son, and they had called upon her son to go and serve it across seas there. I believe it was, the name of the place was Flanders. I'm sure Brother Jeff would know. But as she went over there, she saw her neighbor that had had five sons and was entered into the war. And none of those sons were hurt. They all came home. And she was just so deeply hurt and bothered. And she wondered, Lord, you know, I just can't give this up. I can't be reconciled. The grief just seems to grow every day. But there was a night she had a dream, and an angel came to her, and he said, I'll give you your son back for 10 minutes. Would you like him as an infant when he was still just swaddling in those little baby blue blankets, I guess? Would you want him as a toddler when he's just wrapping around your knees and just constantly hanging to you? Or would you like him as a lad just starting school and beginning his life in his education? Or would you want him as he graduates school and he's standing there so proud with his diploma? Or would you rather have him in his brand new uniform with the shiny button standing there ready to go to war? She looked and she said, I don't want him at any of those times. There's a time that sticks out to me even more. She said, there was a time when he desired something, and he desired it so great, and I knew for his welfare I could not give him what he wanted. You know how a child does. They'll come up and they'll say, well, I want this or that. And many times as a parent, you just have to spurn them and say no. And they're consistent. But she said, he just kept constantly asking me and asking me. And she said, son, you cannot have that. And in his little hatred, he said, I hate you. I don't want to live with you anymore. Anybody been there as a child? I can't stand that. I hate you, Mama. I hate you, Daddy. I'm just going to run away. How far would you get? But as they begin, that little boy, she said, I want him. And just a few minutes later, he would come in and he would be just sobbing and weeping. And he would look up at her. He'd say, Mother, I love you. I want to stay with you. And she said, at that time is when I loved him the best. At that time when he would come back and be standing there and say, I know I told you I hated you. And I ran from you. But I'm coming back and I'm weeping and I'm sobbing. And I'm asking you in my sorrow to please forgive me. She said, as I would just sit there and let him cry. She said, when I could squeeze him close and tell him I loved him. She said, that's when I loved him best. That's when I loved him best, when I could squeeze him in close. Is the Lord calling someone that way this evening? Is He calling someone that way this evening? Does He have you at the place where you're saying, Lord, I couldn't live it before. And I hated it. I despised it. But now that I'm across enemy lines, and the enemy has mangled me, and he has scarred me, and I know for sure now, God, that I'm not my own living over here. It's not better on this side. The pleasure's less for just a moment. At this time is when I find myself searching. God, where are you? God, where are you now? At this point is when I would love to be able to call upon you. But I'm buried in such shame. I'm buried in such desolation. I can't call upon you. I'm too scarred. I'm too mangled. Why would you want to deal with me now? He says, that's when I can love you the best. Oh, God in heaven. That's when His arms can reach out and hug you in a way and pull you in close in a way that you've never felt. Don't sell God short. Don't sell God short. He's so precious. His love is far beyond our imaginations. If we could understand, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, around verse 16 or so, if we could only understand the breadth, the height, and the depth of His love, He would love to show someone that this evening. He would love to reach into your heart and see where you are. And you're already broken, my friend. See, the Lord's done showed me that part. I know that you're reaching for something and you think, I have no way of escape. I'm at the point where I know, God, why would you want to deal with me now? There was a time when I did serve you. God, I didn't have these scars. You could do whatever with me. But now I'm standing here mangled. I can't walk like I used to. You see, I've been beaten down. I've had my legs and things broken numerous times. just in a spiritual sense. But you can see it just how even the one that's running for president, how he lived across enemy lines there for a while. He can't even hardly lift his hands. Can't hardly lift his arms. Are you at that place tonight where you would love to have the strength again and the love in your heart for your Savior, when you could just begin to lift your hands once again? When you could feel the love in your heart and the breaking of your soul to where the warm tears would run down your face. That's what you're longing for. Oh God, help us. That's what you're longing for. How much lower does the Lord have to let you go? He don't desire to see you go any lower. You see, He made you honorable. Since thou wast precious in my sight. He's married to the backslider. He still sees a gem that's been marred. He still sees a gem that's had maybe some of the sections chipped off. But my friend, He can still make you a new creature. His power is not diminished. This seems like the Lord's just pulling. As I seen my niece run to the altar the other evening, and her boyfriend that didn't know much of anything, Brother Mike, as they would get down and weep and call out upon my Savior. You see, He's still doing it. His desire is to go to the pit and pull you out. It's not His desire that any should perish. He didn't come into this world to condemn this world. But He's given you a way out, my friend. This is something that you have desired in your heart for a long time. This is something that you've desired to feel the pulling and the wooing of the Holy Ghost. This is something you've desired. The devil sees something broken and cast away. He's not a physician like my Savior. He's not a physician like my Savior. He's not the one. He'll just break in and cast you off. He don't want you for your body anyway. You know what He wants you for? As a trophy against these churches. He's just wanting a trophy. Like they did Saul. They just cut his head off. All they wanted was his head hanging up there. He didn't care about his body. Left it laying. But you see, that's what the devil's doing to you. He says, you're broken. You're done. There's no escape. And then Christ says, I've never pronounced a death sentence upon anyone. There's been times, yeah, we've heard the stories of those that blaspheme. But my friend, if you had blasphemed, if God had given up on you, He would not be pulling at your heart. He would not be wooing you right now. Savor this moment, my friend. Savor this moment. This is what you've desired. You can put up the front all you want. You can say, well, I've been there already. I can't live that. And you can set tough. But I'm asking the Holy Ghost to break your heart. I'm asking Him to reach in places that are still can be fallow. There's still places that He can work. You see, you felt something that you've never felt before. You felt something that cannot be matched. You felt something far greater than any pleasure that this world has to offer. You felt something so much greater. That's when you're sitting there in a place where you're all alone. You can remember those times of the Spirit of the Lord falling upon you. You can remember those times of the blessings as they were so great and you felt like you was not even your own. He desires to do it again, my friend. He desires to take some trophies back out of the devil's trophy room. He desires to take some off the walls that the enemy says, these are mine. I've got them behind the locked case. The glass is sealed. Airtight. They have no way out. He's here tonight, however. He's here to save you. He's still the Savior. He's still the Redeemer. He's still the one that can redeem your soul. He's still the one that has the blood, that the power has not been diminished. He's still the one that you can say that name and there's power in that name. His power has not been diminished. If they want to get a song, I'm not going to be much longer. If they want to get something, but I'm pulling for a soul. You see, you've longed for a way out. You've longed for a line of deliverance. And it's nothing in me, but I'm telling you, there is the Lord is here this evening. He's here to rescue you. He's here to pull you from that fire. As I talked there in that chapter, about those that were in the prison house. He came to save those that were in the prison house. I want to read that Scripture again. You'll have to forgive me. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. There's some that maybe haven't gone that far. I feel like there's some here this evening that they're still holding on. They're still got that burning flax. They maybe are just a bruised reed. They're not sitting in the prison house yet. They're just sitting just outside of it. But God came to rescue you. He came to give you strength by the Spirit in the inner man. But there's those that are addicted, those that are in the prison. He came to open the doors this evening. You thought there was no key to open that door. You thought the enemy had done through that key far away and you were always His. But you see, the Lord called you first. His desire is for you to lift your hands again. Hallelujah. He desires nothing more than to redeem that heart to where you can lift those hands in praise once again. The prison seems so dark and desolate. There's no water. There's no food. There's nothing that can give me sustenance in my soul. I feel desolate. Lord, I don't want to be here any longer. Oh. Lord, I desire to be somewhere different. I can remember how it was at your house. I used to go with them when they would worship you. I used to go with them when we would call a fast for that week. I used to call my hours out when we would have a chain fast. I used to call my hours out, my sweet hour of prayer. There was a time that I can remember, Lord, that I wanted to meet with you at this time every day. I'm asking Him to remind you that His love is still that real. His love is still that strong to bring out the prisoners from the prison. He's here to bring you out. He's got these men here that are still shining the light. He's got these men here that the burden may seem so heavy upon them, and we've seen them with their shoulders bowed down. Brother Jerry, with this meeting, I'm sure he has a burden. I'm supposed to have a burden. My God, if I wouldn't have a burden, take me out of it. But I came with a burden. I'm nothing or nobody, Brother Mike. I am the bottom. But I'm telling you what, the Lord is here to rescue someone in my feeble way. I'm here to give you a way out. You can remember lifting your hands and calling to Him. You can remember bowing that knee with the broken and with the contrite spirit. And you can remember how just easy it was. The devil tries to make it look impossible. He'll try to tell you, you can bow that knee, but there'll not be any change. I give you this in rebuttal. The blood has not diminished. The blood has not diminished. The blood has not diminished. There is still a way out. Reach for it tonight. If everyone will stand, all across the building, if everyone will stand, are you tired of that cell? Are you tired of that dark place in the prison house? Do you long again to commune with my Savior? Do you long again for those times when you felt so desolate on this side of those lines? When you could go to that closet of prayer and say, God, I'm in a place where I see no way out. And sometimes we'd have to stand still. Sometimes we'd have to wait upon the Lord, but He never failed you. As Brother Lonnie says at the church, my God can do anything but fail. He's asking for a chance this night to prove Himself. He's asking for a chance this night to give you or to give Him the opportunity once again to prove how He really sees you. The devil says you have nothing to offer. God says, I still see one that's honorable. I still see something that I can do something with. I'm still the great physician. Let me work. It's not hopeless. They want to begin to sing. If there's some that can begin to pray, anyone want to come to the front and pray? But I'm begging you this night, do not let this opportunity pass you by. Do not let this opportunity slip far from you. You see, you've desired this. You have desired this. You've desired to feel this. You've desired to feel the pulling and the wooing of the Holy Ghost. You've desired to feel just the air that He can rescue you. Don't let it pass by. He's reaching. If everyone will begin to pray, let's just pray. Let's keep our minds upon the Lord. I'm asking you to contemplate tonight. Do you want another evening or another night of that feeling so alone and so desolate? Or do you long for those times when you can look unto Him? Do you long for those times when you can call out His name and He lets you know that His hand is guiding you? That He's not left you alone. He'll pull you. He'll pull you through. It seems like there's no way out. But my friend, I'm proof. There is many other here, there's many others that are proof. There's so many here. As I look across the crowd, I can give the testimonies. But I can give the testimony also of the ones that's never given up. For those that maybe are teetering and thinking, well, it might look better out there. Hold on to His hand. Hold on to His hand. Let's gather around and pray.